This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy as usual, Eric Bradley. And today, we're talking to country singer-songwriter Travis Denning. Travis set a record with his song, After a Few, as the longest climb to number one in the history of the country charts, taking 65 weeks. The video for his new song, Abby, is a nod to some of the most over-the-top 90s and early 2000s country videos, and it's amazing. For Travis, what started out as an Instagram joke turned him into a huge Bachelor fan, and we could be looking at some new Bachelor After a Few episodes this season. But first, I was wrong. This Bachelor party last weekend was a little crazier than we anticipated. I mean, I think we both thought it was going to be a little bit more chill. But yeah, for me personally, it was not chill.
It was chill for 22 out of the 25 guys.
Well, I don't know. Every time we came home from the bars, they were still up drinking. just doing it differently. It was just different for them.
They were just bros having fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, those dudes, like, honestly, most of the time they said, I was in bed early on, what night was that? Friday night? Like 11. I mean, people were staying up till 4 a.m. every night, man. I don't know how they do it. But it was a lot of fun.
I think it's just how those married guys do it. They like save up all year for this one time to get together with the boys and go all out with just each other.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, man. They get away from their wives. They're like, we're drinking beer till 4 a.m. It was a good group of guys, though. Really good group of guys. It was a lot of fun.
We missed a fishing trip.
Yeah, couldn't quite get up for that.
Which really disappointed me.
Did you actually get up?
Well, I think that was about, I was in the middle of a couple scenes going on. So I think that was about the time I went to bed. Was the time we were supposed to wake up.
No, so yeah, we wanted to go fishing, couldn't go fishing, but the boat was amazing. We did a fun tour. Boat tour for God, how long? Six hours was really fun. Golfing was a blast. We sucked.
Yeah, horrible round.
Yeah, I had one of the worst rounds of my fucking life.
Same. I'm gonna blame my rental clubs.
You can do that. I'll let you blame the rental clubs because that would be really hard.
And I'm gonna blame my cousin from Boston.
Our whole foursome was rough. It was me, you, Jared, and Matt Woods, and then our whole foursome was just. We didn't even finish the last like three holes. No, we're like, let's go and drink. Let's go to Mango Beach, baby. We spent a lot of time at Mango Beach down there. For those of you who haven't been to Cabo, that's like the party bar. I was there three times, dude.
Daytime party bar.
I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And I was there Thursday night and Saturday.
Ben won a twerking competition. Shout out to Ben Higgins. That man can, turns out, the man can move. I've got quite possibly the greatest purchase I ever made before. And it was him pouring a bucket of water on himself with basically tidy whiteys on. It looks like.
I mean, he just rolled up. I mean, he rolled up literally everything on the stage that day.
Yeah. He crushed it. They walked around with a picture on it. It was basically like a small whiskey bottle with a picture of him. But I got the best one, in my opinion. I got him dumping a bucket of water over his head while half naked. So that's going on the mantle.
It was one of the greatest videos I have, but I will not share.
Yeah, we can't share that video, but it was amazing. It was amazing. I almost put it on my Snapchat, but I was like, no, I can't even put it on my Snapchat. I have like 10 followers on Snapchat, but it was a blast. I think Ben had a good time, which is really all that matters. Like, I feel like he had a great bachelor party. So it was good for him. And, for the most part, we all really got along. I felt like, well, of course, his Midwest boys, like, they're hard not to get along with. They're just good dudes. Yeah. The Indiana boys and quite a few Denver guys. And for the most part, all of us Bachelor people got along for the most part.
Yeah. How was your time with Nick?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Nick is going to be Nick. You know, I'm not just going to say, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on a lot of things.
Hey, Eric, did you wear the sweatshirt?
I did. I'm actually wearing it right now.
He did, and Nick did not find it very amusing.
Dean, Wells, Ben all loved it.
I loved it, but Nick did not find it very amusing.
I kept looking at Instagram, every picture you'd post, and you know, it'd be the group shot of everybody, and I'd see E back there in the back, and I'm like, dude, let me see your shirt. Come on.
I never wore it out, but...
What does it say? That's my boyfriend. Oh, that's my best friend. It says,
that's my best friend. He a real bad bitch.
Oh, shit.
With Blake sitting on Nick's lap, and they're both shirtless.
From Vegas like 3 years ago.
Did Nick see it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did he acknowledge it?
I mean, he looked at it for a half a second. And
I was like, I'm just trying to squash the beef here. He was like, what beef? While he's making controversial TikTok masterpieces.
Damn.
But I will give it to Nick. He saved a life.
Yeah, he did.
He ran to our buddy, Chris Harrison, also a funny thing, because we're on this group email leading up to it. And we're just like, is fucking Chris Harrison coming down? I completely forgot about one of Ben's best friends' name is Chris Harrison. And then Chris Harrison walked through the door and we're like, oh, fuck. Just kidding. But Nick. Did I mean he ran when our buddy kind of passed out? He had
kind of passed out. He passed out.
He had heat exhaustion, dehydrated. He wasn't drunk.
No,
but yeah, Nick, I give him props, man. It was the most. It was the only thing he put his phone down all weekend for.
Yeah, like me and Dean are great. Like me, I get along with Dean. I was not like nervous at all to like talk to Dean or anything. Like me and Dean have never really had it. He's able to acknowledge like some things. Dean. Yeah, me too. And he's like objectively like acknowledged, and he's like, Kaylin could have done some things different. You could have done something like, at least he's objective like that. Nick's just like, no, you know, we're not getting into that. I don't want to talk shit. So it is what it is.
If you guys want to really know the truth, why Blake has no voice is because he was in a little bit of a heated debate, drunk debate.
Yeah, drunk
while
debate.
Sitting in a fucking hot tub.
Yeah, dude.
smoking a cigar.
Yeah, that's actually why. Dude, I smoked so many cigars this weekend. Oh.
I've never seen Blake have so many veins popping out of his chest, like talking.
These are one of the only people that can really get into my skin is Nick fucking Vial.
But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He'll get it out of you.
Yeah. But me and Dean had a great conversation at the end of the night.
And Wells. You and Wells had a great talk.
Wells isn't either. Wells did talk a lot of shit when things was going on. But at least he also is like, dude, he can openly say, like, dude, you got railroaded. Like,
and you honestly, I think, have a friend, a true friend in Wells that you can confide in.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. It was just frustrating listening to him talk a lot of shit about me on his podcast and on other things. That hurts. It hurts when your friend fucking talks shit about you and won't acknowledge, you know, other things. So it hurts, but I've never thought of Wells as like...
I love Wells.
Yeah, I like Wells too.
I like all the boys. Everyone's
yeah, exactly. That was a good group of people. And yeah, like I said, me and Dean had a great conversation. We were the only two up Saturday night, 4 a.m. And I just looked over. I was like, Dean, I miss you. He's like, man, I miss you too. It was a good conversation. So yeah, all in all, no drama. Good dudes. A lot of fun.
A lot of alcohol.
Lot of alcohol.
The world's worst fucking mezcal ever.
15 tequila bottles. And before the last night, like in three nights, yeah. We threw 15 tequila bottles.
I think there was like 10 or 15 bottles of bourbon.
Yeah, so many. Oh, yeah, I forgot we went through all those bourbon bottles too. Jesus. And shout out to the place we stayed at. Incredible.
Yes.
Tanzanita de la. Villa Tanzanita de la. Incredible spot. I had so many people in my DMs asking me where. I didn't want to say it then because they were coming up to our spot.
The view almost looked like we would be in Greece.
Yeah, like in the Amalfi Coast. And honestly, it wasn't that expensive. If you get enough people, it honestly was not bad. So yeah, if you guys go down to Cabo, go check out Villa de Tanzanita de la. We had a chef. We had a bartender. I felt like I was really living my best life out there.
It was actually kind of funny. We ran into, I don't know if we have any Below Deck fans, but we ran into Jean-Luc from this season of Below Deck.
Yeah.
And it was funny. You're taking pictures and he's just like, who the fuck is this guy?
I walked up to him at the bar at a Squid Row because he's hard to miss. The dude's like 6'10".
The guy's like 6'9". Yeah.
Yeah. He's huge. And I walked up to him. I was like, are you on Below Deck? And I thought he thought I was like, you know, like a fan because I've actually never watched a show.
I'm the one who pointed him out because I actually do watch the show.
Yeah. Like, I think he thought I was a fan and we were leaving Squid Row. And yeah, he kind of like looked at me. He's like, yeah. And he kind of turned around and all of a sudden it was like quite a few people that came up and started taking pictures with me. And he came up. He's like, who are you? And I was like, hey, you want to come on Behind the Rose podcast? I was like, I was on the Bachelor. He's like, oh, so yeah, hopefully we'll have him on here one time, one of these days. yeah, so all in all, successful trip. I'm hurting a little bit, man. I'm hurting real bad. I still don't feel 100%. One other thing we should mention is congrats to some of our best friends out there.
Yes.
Caitlin and Jason, baby. I knew it was coming, man, but it still was like a surprise. It was still a great surprise.
That rock though. Holy shit.
I've heard rumors. I don't know how big it is. So he texted me this morning.
Big.
Yeah, he texted me this morning and sent me a pic of everything and like let me know. And I've heard it's like, I know I don't want to put it out there because I don't know how much it is. I could be, maybe I'm undercutting him a little bit. Maybe it's worth more than I've heard, but it's a 5.2 carat.
I was gonna say it looks like it's 5 or 6.
It's well over six figures. We'll put it that way. The kid did good. Have you seen the reaction? Her reaction was,
yeah. Well, it's so Caitlin. It's on brand for her. She's like,
are you shitting me?
No, I think it was she dropped an F bomb.
I mean, it was, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Or something? Yeah. I just love those two. They're the best. They work so well together.
Yeah.
And truly are so in love. That bachelor party is gonna be a blast. Can't wait for that one. But even more, that wedding, man, is going to be
off the chain.
Off the chain, because the people that they hang out with are like our people. You know what I mean? Like they like to have a good time, work hard, play hard type crew. So, I mean, all of Jason's buddies I know really well. Obviously, all of Caitlin's friends I know really well. So that is going to be a wild party, man.
Yeah.
But congrats to those two. We love you guys. We're going to have to go down to Nashville and celebrate with them.
Well, we'll be down there soon for Blended Fest. So,
yeah. Yeah, a couple months. All right, coming up, our conversation with Travis Denning, Behind the Rose. Little smile, little happy, little touch, little reminisce. But we both know how it ends. After a few drinks, it's always the same thing. We find ourselves lost in conversation at the bar.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Anytime Fitness is for real people with real fitness goals. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us aren't training for marathons or half marathons or even half marathons. Only time most of us are running at all is if we're trying to make a connecting flight. Wouldn't have been late if we didn't stop to buy a headphone dongle. Point is, you gotta be ready. You do not want to deal with rebooking. Anytime Fitness, where real people help you make real progress. Join today and get a plan for training, nutrition, and recovery.
Travis, thanks for coming on, man.
Good to see y'all, man. Good to finally get an hour to hang out with y'all.
Yeah, so we've been trying to get you on for a minute because we love that you're a big Bachelor fan. And we'll get into that down the road for sure, but we'll talk some Bachelor. But we've been trying to get you on, so I'm glad we finally able to get you on, man. How is it out there in Nashville, man? Are you starting to get busier?
Well, you're about to go on tour with Brothers Osborne's, right?
Yeah, totally is kicking back up. We played like 8 shows in April, and man, it was like they were real live shows. I mean, it was like legit, you know. I mean, we did like lower capacity in certain venues, but they were all rocking and rolling, man. I mean, it's slowly coming back, and you know, I think we're like right around the corner from it being full blast. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited, man. Yeah, so slowly getting busy, which means I need to go for a damn jog or something because I'm not sure if I got COVID-19, but I damn sure gained it. So I need to like get the belly back under wraps. But man, it's been nice, you know. I'm really excited.
We haven't really been to a country concert yet. I played a couple DJ gigs out there, but what is the vibe like with the crowd, man? Are they just ready? Like, is it crazier than you've ever seen it?
Yeah, you know, it's nuts and it's wild, but it's also like, it's just really cool. It seems like everybody's super happy. You know what I mean? Like just kind of like there's like a collective, like finally, you know, that like shows are happening again. And yeah, they've been nuts, man, especially singing, you know, I mean, hell, I never got to play after a few when it was the number one song in the country. Like that happened in June, which was like just everybody had it in June, you know? And so being able to be back on the road and like play it in a legit setting and finally hear people sing that back, I mean, it's like so rewarding. And then like the newer songs off of the EP, you know, playing those, it's crazy. You know, I told someone the other day, I was like, man, I fell in love with fishing so much over the pandemic. And then when I finally played these shows, I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot I like doing this too. So I got to like I got to give up my professional angling dreams. And I got to go back to the country music singing.
You're about ready to retire and just pick up the rod, you know?
I know. I was like, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'll start. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, your Instagram stories were nothing but out on the boat.
Dude, if I took all those away this summer, I wouldn't have posted anything on Instagram.
Yeah, right. You needed some content.
Yeah. Were you in Nashville throughout quarantine, or were you back home out in Georgia? Or
I was here for most of it, but me and my girlfriend actually went to her parents' place in Kentucky for probably 2 damn months, man. I think we went up there at the end of March, and I came back like the end of May, just because I had like the EP release coming out and a bunch of radio stuff going on. But hell, we went up there because, you know, I'm in like a little 2,000 square foot kind of townhome style house, and they live on 18 acres. And, you know, we were able to golf and go fishing and do all that kind of stuff. And I was like, let's just get the hell out of here. I mean, what else are we going to do? So we mainly spent time up there, and I did go home to Georgia for like a week or two. My folks live in Maryland. We flew up there and saw them and just kind of went all around, man.
That's awesome. I mean, that's always nice when you have like a house like that with acres you can go to. Just can't you guys get RV, four-wheel, you know, ATV, all that kind of stuff, man. Yeah,
walk up to the barn and just drink beer, you know what I mean? Like, just to have something to do. And, you know, they live in a neighborhood with like only like 15 houses, if that. And so the neighborhood's really tight, and we had a lot of, you know, hangs, and it was just nice to get there and spread our legs. And it really too, like, kind of shifted Madison's like perspective on, you know, when I first met her, she was like, I want to live in the city forever. Like, I love this. And she was like, hell no. I want to be out in the middle of nowhere where I can't see nobody. Like, that's how I want to live. I'm like, thank you, because that's how I want to live.
I feel like a lot of people have actually come to that conclusion during quarantine, because all the cities have slowly, like, everybody's moving out of the cities into the country. So she's definitely not the only one, which is cool. I agree. Like, I think even me, I'll admit it. I think me, I always wanted, I've lived like loft downtown or whatever, but now I'm like, I want a place out like with a yard and shit, you know, now. So.
Dude, man, that, yeah, all that stuff, man. I just love being a little closer to like the outskirts. Like I said, I love being on the lake. I love just being out. Man, I grew up going to like the shitty Mexican restaurant, and like we were lucky if we had a Chick-fil-A, and I like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need everything. I don't need the new chic like bar that just opened up, and I like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've loved that part of living in East Nashville, but I'm kind of just excited to get into like some quiet, you know.
No, I hear you. I understand. So yeah, let's get into kind of growing up down in Georgia and everything, man. So was music always the plan?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like the first thing I just fell in love with, you know. I mean, I tried every sport and I was garbage at all. So, like, I remember like getting excited because my basketball coach let me play a whole quarter, you know what I mean? Like, it was that bad. And yeah, when I was like 7 years old, I just remember my dad like playing me AC/DC for the first time, and I was like, what in the hell is this? I was just like I don't know what this is, but I want a lot more of it. And I kind of just got really passionate about music and like rock and roll, and I got my first guitar when I was 10 years old, and I mean, it was just the first thing I grabbed, and like it just kind of clicked. Like, and I don't mean that by I could play damn every AC/DC song, right? It's like I kind of like had it in my hands, and I was like, I understand the concept of this, and started taking lessons. And hell, I took guitar lessons for about a year and a half or 2 years, and then just, you know, never stopped. You know, once I stopped doing lessons, I just kept playing.
I love that AC/DC was like the inspiration, because I'm a huge AC/DC fan too. I've seen them live a couple times. Yeah, that's awesome.
Man, it's like, I just think they're like the perfect rock band in my opinion, just because you don't have to think that hard about their songs. Like, they're just straight down the middle, meat and potatoes, like great rock and roll. And when you're 7 years old and you hear that, you're like, this is badass. Like, this is awesome. You don't have to think about it.
I grew up, that's why my dad was listening to, like, AC/DC, Boston, all those kinds, like Steve Miller Band, all those bands growing up. So I loved all that. So I love that that was your inspiration. So did you want to be like a rock star? I mean, nowadays country stars kind of are rock stars. Or did like country was kind of like always something you also wanted to do?
Man, the country thing of just like my love for country music really started to come out when I started like writing songs. Like, my sister loved country music ever since she was a kid. And so just like as an older brother, you just don't like what your sister likes. You know, I was like, I don't give a shit about this. I hate country music, blah, blah, blah. And then like, I remember hearing like Anything But Mine by Kenny Chesney that like, she, you know, she loved Kenny Chesney. And I remember hearing Anything But Mine and just being like, damn, that's kind of a good song. Like, I just kind of like, you know, I was like connected to something in it. I didn't know what it was, but I was just like, okay, that ain't that bad. And then like Zac Brown Band came out, and Zac Brown Band was actually a huge turning point for me. I mean, I was in high school. Hell, I was like 16 years old, and the Foundation album came out. And when I heard like Chicken Fried, I just remember being like, oh damn, that's cool. Like, and it's really country, but it's kind of Americana. Like, it had a touch of Neil Young too. I don't know what it was. It was just like all these little things. And then they had songs in there like It's Not Okay, and they were just straight barn burner, like, you know, bluegrass country picking. And I'm like, hell, they're just shredding. Like, this is like Pantera, just country. You know, I was like, I mean, they're playing so many notes. And so as a guitar player, I love that. And not country, but I mean, John Mayer was like a big turning point for me too, of just going like, damn, this guy plays the guitar, plays his ass off, and he has these like phenomenal songs. And then all of a sudden that led me to like Keith Urban. You know what I mean? It was like that kind of parallel. And I think that was just the shift in high school. And I started realizing I wanted to write songs. And when I sat down with the acoustic guitar, the only thing I could write about was how I grew up,
yeah,
what I did. And all of a sudden it's like the things I really started to relate to were those things that I felt like were written about me and where I came from, the people who I grew up with. And of course that was at the time that was like Jason Aldean was just absolutely blowing up, and Luke Bryan, and they were Georgia boys too, which was really cool. And mm-hmm. It was just kind of a culmination of all those little things where I went, man, I think I need to really dive in. And when I dived into country music and gotten Alan Jackson, George Strait, Shenandoah, Earl Thomas Conley, Jerry Reed, it was like, this shit's awesome, you know, and I just mm-hmm. fell in love with it.
I grew up kind of the same, where, because my mom and sister loved country music, and I was like, fuck country music. You know, I was like, all that. And then And then, because I want to be like a rock, my dad was listening to rock and stuff. And then, but over time, like, yeah, I started listening to country music and I started to like it. And then, my first like country music, like fest and like live show, I was like, oh my God, like, this is it. This is what I like. And I remember Keith Urban, man, you mentioned Keith Urban, that man can shred. When I saw him live, I was like, oh my God, this man is a god on a guitar, man. It's crazy.
Just absolutely. And that's the thing, is like, I tell people all the time, it's like, I'm a, like, guitar playing was my first love, right? And that was really just what I felt. I'm like, I'm a country singer in country music that plays guitar. It's like, how can he not be one of my freaking biggest influences? You know, I mean, I've loved all of his records, and you know, I've never told him that. I've been around him a few times, but I'm just like, I don't want to be that guy, you know, but I've definitely been drunk and I'm like, we need to like jam, man. We should like. And he's like, cool. Like, can you get away from me? I don't know who you are. And I'm like, yeah, I just love Keith and the older guys like Jerry Reed and obviously Chet Atkins. I mean, like the foundation of country guitar playing, I'm telling you, John Osborne from Brothers Osborne, in my opinion, is the best guitar
player. He is insane.
Like, and I love that the guitar playing is still just like, it still has its lane in country music. Whereas I think in a lot of ways, it's shifted from that. But honestly, all of music has kind of shifted from guitars. It's just, I'm not like bitching. I'm just saying it's the kind of, you know, it changes, it evolves and all that. And one day it'll totally come back around. And
cyclical, everything's cyclical, man, exactly, especially in music.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So kind of getting into your writing process, man, what is that process like for you? Because you've written some bangers.
Man, it's just, it all starts with like an idea. I mean, I literally can't even write it if we don't have a great title or a great hook. So I guess you could say it really is the title, but I mean, it's just the all around idea. I have a hard time getting in a room, even with like my closest friends, and not having shit. Like, I can't sit there and just dig and dig and dig and then go like, oh, this, you know. I love getting in the room and either me or one of my co-writers goes, I got this idea. Here it is. Boom, boom, boom. And that's what immediately gets my like wheels rolling and just me excited. And for me, I just try to think of the best way to, I think I start lyrically, honestly, which I think most people would think I start musically, but to me, I love lyrics. That's why I love country music. And, it really just starts there. And then it's just, and then from that point, it's just different every time. You know, I mean, it can be, it can be like, oh, I have this guitar vibe. I've got this, you know, idea musically. I've got a song coming out May 15th called Call It Country. And that song was literally the opposite of what I just said. It was like, we started with a guitar. I was like, I want to write a barn burner. I want to write this fast. I had this guitar lick, and we kind of dug in for the idea, and we finally got to the idea. But once we did that shit, we wrote it in like an hour, you know, and we just planned it out. So it just depends, man. It just depends.
Yeah. We kind of ask that, you know, for all the musicians to come on the show, and everybody's a little different, but then also they have things like that where like they'll do a completely different and make an incredible song too, you know? So
yeah, every now and then I think you just do have to go off script, because I think Jeffrey Steele said it best. He's like one of the greatest songwriters of all time. He said, songwriting is a muscle, and if you don't work it out, it won't get bigger. But I also do think if you train that muscle the exact same way all the time, it will get fatigued and it'll plateau. And so I think you do have to like shift it. But man, for me, it has always been about the idea. I mean, Her World or Mine, when I wrote that for Michael Ray, Jamie Paul, and one of the co-writers, he had that title. He had the hook, and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome, you know? And it was like, the songs I've written that I really love, we had the idea when we came in the room, you know? David Ashley Parker, After a Few, all that, like, we had it.
I mean, After a Few, like, that came out roughly, like, June, right, of 2020, is that what you said?
It went number one. The song, I put it out in January of 2019.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it had a pretty long ass haul to number one. In fact, it had the longest haul to number one in the history of country radio. It was 65 weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
From charted to number one. So
what was it like? Were you ever like, man, this is not going to make it? Like, when is this going to drop off the charts? Or did you expect it? You just kept seeing it go and go.
Oh, hell no. There were two or three times where the first time that it really got concerning was when it hit like 31. And it was like, we couldn't like get it to 30. And once you hit 30, this is a little like inside baseball here, but like once you hit 30, you know, then you get played on the countdown, like Kix Brooks countdown. And, you know, I talked to my label about it, and I just obviously expressed my just concern. And David Friedman at the label just said, he said, this song is not going to die with a 3 in front of it. And I guarantee it. And I said, okay. So we held on, and then it just was like, went from 29 to 25 to 22. And it was like hauling ass. Then it was top 20, and then it hit 15, and it went like 13, 14, 13, 15, 13. And I was just going like, we're going to have a top 15. But at that point I was so excited, because shit, that was the highest I'd ever been. And man, right when it hit top 10, like 2 weeks after shit hit the fan as far as the pandemic.
Oh, gotcha.
But man, and so I thought, well, I don't know. We'll have a top 10. It's the pandemic. Who knows what's going on? And just like, lo and behold, man, it hit 10, and it was like, it felt like a brand new song. Like, it felt like it had all this steam that it never had. And once it hit there and we started seeing like the research and people were loving it, that's when I was like, okay, I think it's gonna get there. And I'll be honest, without the pandemic, it wouldn't have gone number one, because, you know, we were supposed to be out with Sam Hunt and Kit Moore all summer last year.
Yep.
And our whole idea was, when this tour starts, when After a Few's top 10, we're going to move on. Like, we're going to, because I want to start this tour with a brand new single and all that. So, you know, it's a weird, it's just
crazy,
crazy turn of events. And I'm still very thankful it went number one. It was still just probably the greatest moment of my career so far.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. A lot more moments like that to come, though, I feel like, because I love your new song, man. I love Abby. Tell the story behind that song, because it's so great. I listened to it, and like, your songs can be very literal. Like, you talked about a couple of your other songs. Like, I feel like sometimes you're just telling a story kind of throughout your song. I like that a lot.
I love that about country music, man. Like, I mean, Don't Take the Girl by Tim McGraw, I Go Back. It's like, some of those huge songs, like, they ain't doing no smoke and mirrors. They're just telling you that story. And Abby was a song that I heard it sometime in 2019, and a buddy of mine played it for me before a show. We were just hanging out drinking a beer, and he goes, man, you got to hear this song. Like, and this guy's not even in the music business. He's just like, has buddies and had some demos, and he played me Abby. It was like the light bulb. Like, I just, lost my mind. I'm like, is nobody cutting this? And he's like, well, you know, I don't know. And so I knew who the co-writers were on the song. And so I called one of their publishers and I was like, is anybody recording Abby? They're like, hell, this song's like 8 months old. Like, ain't nobody cut it. I'm like, well, I'll cut this son of a bitch in a month. Like, I will record the song. And man, I couldn't believe I got it. I mean, I couldn't believe nobody recorded it. And so I recorded it, kind of teased it like early on Instagram. And it was like, I posted a video of it and it was insane. Like, shit got shared like 1,000 times and all this stuff. And I knew we had something special then. And we put it out on Valentine's Day of 2020, and which I was very proud of. I'm like, you know, I'm spoken for. I got a great relationship with Madison, but I was like, there's a lot of people who have definitely burned a bridge or two. And I'm going to put a song out for those folks. And man, it just, I mean, truly, like, just kind of caught like wildfire with fans, and I just been blown away by it. Like I said to y'all before we start recording, I mean, we literally close our shows with it right now.
That's
like,
so cool,
we don't close with After a Few because everybody's waiting to hear it. And I think that's so special. And honestly blown away that Ashley Chase and Matt Jenkins, like, hadn't had somebody else record it. And I'm so grateful and thankful they let me take it.
I think people relate to that song. I think so many people can, like, something in that song, like you said, kind of they gravitate towards. Because, I mean, I know when I listen to it, I'm like, yeah, I've been in that situation, you know, something like that. So it's pretty cool.
Everybody at one point in their life has let dignity fly out to the wind when they're breaking up somebody. I mean, you have to. I know I've done it. I mean, I can remember specifically a breakup. I called this girl and she was in the car with her parents, but she pissed me off so bad. And I broke up with her while she was in the car with her parents. And we had been dating for a while, like a year. Like, I mean, I knew her parent, and I was just like, I don't give a shit. Like, I can't, I'm over this. And I mean, obviously, like, next morning, I was like, probably could have handled that a lot better.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, everybody has definitely just lit the match, threw it on the bridge and said, middle finger to the sky. I'll see you never. I think that's why people dig it, man. I mean, somebody posted on Instagram the other day. They were like, hey, man, I used your song to break up somebody today, man. Thank you for the song. I was like, damn.
That wasn't the point of the song, but all right.
That's not messed up. Okay.
How much fun did you have making that music video?
Yeah. Man, it was just stupid fun, dude. Like, I mean, you know, and the whole video, like the way it starts, that's how the idea came about. Me and Madison and her brother were chilling at the house. We just watched a movie. It was like 8:45. Do you watch another movie? Like, what do you do? You know, it's going to be damn midnight before you're done with it. And I said, well, do you want to watch another movie? She goes, let's just watch like early 2000s, like country music videos. I'm like, I'm in. So we're watching Toby Keith, Montgomery Gentry and Sarah Evans, Terry Clark, just like all this, yep. Kenny Chesney. And I mean, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, this is what the Abby video needs to be. I think I was literally watching Who's Your Daddy by Toby Keith. He's in that like yellow truck. That is what we're going to do. Like, we have got to do this video. That's where it started. I mean, I called my manager that night and I was just like, I've got the idea. That video probably could have played out literally, you know, like the song. But I was like, I just feel like that's not cool. It's like whatever. Yeah,
it's very normal. Like, most music videos are like that.
Yeah, it's like, and I was like, man, I just want to go out of my comfort zone and put on a fake goatee and affliction pants and let's go.
So you're at the house and you go into John's closet and you pull out probably a couple of his jackets for the video.
I mean, literally, that white jacket is John Michael's wedding jacket.
Oh, Ritz's his wedding.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. You know, when we were in Kentucky, like during quarantine, yeah, we raided the closet. He's still got all his old jackets. And I called Miss Crystal. I was like, hey, I need a jacket for this video. She's like, say less. I got you.
That's pretty cool, though. So that is his wedding jacket in the... Everybody go check out the video. It's awesome. It's like rainy. It's like... Oh, it's exactly like you would imagine a 2000s, like late 90s.
It's country. Like Rascal Flatts, Kenny Chesney, Toby Keith, and just the jacket is just there. I don't know what... Yeah. I was like, I have to wear this jacket in this video. It's tasseled all the way down the arm. And I mean, it's perfect, man. Yeah. And it was so fun, man. I mean, PJ Brown directed it. And I mean, PJ's just awesome guy. It was the first time I'd worked with him. And we literally just got on the phone one day and I just kind of told him what I was thinking and sent him the videos. And it was the easiest damn thing I've ever filmed. You know, I mean,
that's awesome.
Drank beer the whole time and goofed off. And it was a blast.
Yeah, it looked like you guys were having fun, I'll tell you that. So I do want to get in some Bachelor talk, and I want to get to what you have kind of coming up. So we'll do that right after this.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Let's get into Bachelor talk, because you always have really funny like stuff on your Instagram and stuff during.
Yeah, you always do great recaps.
Yeah, that was an idea that came about like right when After a Few came out, and I got to give total credit to Taylor at my label. She came up with that. She was like, "What if you did the Bachelor like After a Few drinks?" And I was like, "Well, I don't watch this show, and I never have in my life." I said, "But I'll give it a shot." And yeah, I watched that whole season of Colton, and. Man, I was pretty blown away. I was like, just never watched any kind of television like that. And you know what? I did. I was like, you're cliche, dude. I was like, this is stupid, all this. And then damn, like fifth episode, I'm like, well, how the hell can she just like keep that from me? I'm like, no. I'm like, father, I'm digging the show.
You went right down the rabbit hole.
Yep. And of course, it's like I put out the recaps and everybody loves them. So then everybody's like, you have to keep doing them. I'm like, I don't want to keep
them. Yep, now you're in the hole, man.
I'm in the hole. But I made it like halfway through the Peter season two, and then I petered out pretty much. I gave it all I could. But man, it was so fun. And you talk about just relatable, man. How can you not watch that and be like, hell, I've kind of gone through this? Like, yeah, anything. Not with 20 different girls in one house.
I was thinking this the other day, because you're right. Like, so many people can relate to the show and everything. I think that's why sometimes people are so passionate, because like, if a guy breaks, you know, dumps a girl, they've been dumped that way. So then they get angry and they're like, I've been dumped like that. So they take it out on the lead or whatever. It's just crazy, man. The Bachelor Nation world is just wild, man. I mean, you saw it in the comments and everything of your videos, man. It's just crazy.
Oh, exactly, man. People just being like, I mean, they're like asking me questions like, well, what'd you think about this? I'm like, dude, I had half a bottle of tequila before I watched this. I don't even really remember filming it. I mean, I don't know. But it's so cool, man. And my favorite thing about it was just really just like before I even started filming, I'm like, I had so much fun just being on Twitter and like reading people's tweets.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, it's this weird, like, collective just love for the drama, and it kind of brings people together. Probably people who are arguing about teams and rivalries and politics and all this other bullshit, but yet, like, every Monday they were down there, who's going home and who's staying. Yeah.
So true, man. Even me, man, I was like, what a bunch of douchebags. Then I went on the fucking show, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and I'm exactly. Totally in it, you know. I was like, these guys are losers, you know. And then I go on it. So a lot of guys I meet, you know, they'll come up and be like, are you Blake? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, my girlfriend makes me watch the show. I'm like, really? He's like, no, man, I fucking love it. You know, it's like one of those. It's like, I knew it.
You're like, hell, I would never be. I'd never be on this thing. It's like, let me sign this contract. Okay, yeah. I'll be on. Yeah,
I know, man. It's so. Are you gonna do any more seasons? That's what everybody wants to know.
You know, man. I think if I do some more recaps, I'm gonna have to like go big or go home. I think what I would like to do is like bring some special guests on, like, watch it with me. Like,
you and Hardy need to do one.
Oh my God.
Just get hammered and just like,
I would love to see Hardy watch an episode.
I think that's like one of my boys. I think he'd be like, no, but I'll tell you who I like begged to do it with me when I first started him was Chase Rice. I was like, Chase, just come over one night. And I sent him what I was doing. And he's like, man, I don't know if I can be as quick-witted and all that. I'm like, I don't care. Just come over and just be yourself. It'll be amazing. So Chase, if you're listening, you need it. We have to do this. We have to do it.
That would be gold, man. That would be gold.
We would love to have both of you guys on and do a recap with us.
I'm gonna say, Blake, you'll just have to come. You'll just have to come to Nashville and do one with me.
Done. Then we'll just film the recap right after. Yeah, man. That'd be a blast, actually.
Exactly.
What does it look like for you? I know you said you had like 8 shows in April. Are you back? Like, is the Sam Hunt tour going? Like, what does it look like right now for you?
Big Brothers Osborne.
Yeah, but we're going to be on tour with Brothers Osborne this fall. It'll be us, Tennille Towns, and Brothers. And, man, we're so fired up. I mean, it's like 50 dates, I think. I mean, it's a big old tour. We start the end of July and we go to December. Man, I'm so fired up. We're going everywhere. Yeah, we'll be out in Denver. We'll be out in California. We're spending 3 weeks on the West Coast. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up. Yeah, I love Denver, man. I mean, it's, you know, obviously for some of the social liberties that y'all are able to take.
Quite a few of those.
a lot of other places, but man, it's so fun. And Grizzly Road is always fun. Eric, I know you've been to see me.
I was going
to
bring that up because you've played there a few times. What's like your favorite like memory or?
Man, I think that show, man, that was the first time we like headlined it. I mean, I was worried. I was like, this place is the size of a damn Walmart. Man, we sold like just under 1,000 tickets and like people were up front and partying. And this was January of 2020. So, I mean, we didn't know the world was going to end yet.
A month away.
Yeah. And it was like, man, it was so crazy. We played that show. And then I flew to Costa Rica and did a show out there. And when we were in Costa Rica, Kobe Bryant passed away. And it was like, that was just like the first thing. And then it was just like, just literally shit the bed. I mean, we were out with Dustin Lynch, did Grizzly Road. I was like, this is going to be my year. It's going to be awesome. Like, here we go. And then just everything started falling apart.
So, but now, dude, you'd probably sell out the Grizzly Rose now, man. You'd probably get one of them belt buckles now. Nowadays, and
that'd be crazy. I hope we can definitely do that. Maybe next year, you know, after this Brothers tour, we'll come back, man. It's just always fun being out there, man. I mean, it smells like dog food or whatever that plant is right
yeah, by. Right of the Purina plant.
Golly, the grossest smell.
It's like dog food and gasoline.
Yeah, it's like, but I just love playing there because it's a low-lit, dirty, fun honky-tonk. That's the shit I love to play, man.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Congrats on all the success, man. Killing it.
Yeah,
thanks. I can't wait to see you and Jingle John, man. You guys better have some 10-minute solos on this tour.
Me and him did a little thing the other day. We were hanging out, and he said, lucky for you, our fan base has been learned to like guitar solos. And I said,
yeah.
I said, we're going to get like 35 minutes. I'm going to play 2 songs. It's going to be it.
Just ripping.
Just ripping.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. It's good to officially meet you and everything. And we really are going to do that Bachelor Recap thing. We will find a way to make that happen.
Oh, man. I'll revive it just for you.
Yes. So yes. That's what we like to hear.
Yes, yeah. You should. I mean, Blake is Mr. Stagecoach.
Yeah, I mean, the country music is kind of my thing.
Come on. There we go. Hey, thank you all so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Real soon. Absolutely, man. We'll talk soon again.
Absolutely. Cheers, guys.
All right, see you, man.
Peace.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.